I was looking at the latest data on the UNAIDS website for 2024, and although median HIV prevalence among adult population was 0.8%, it also notes that because of marginalisation, discrimination, and in some cases criminalisation, median prevalence was higher among certain groups of people. Can you discuss this further?
Yes, thank you. Thank you for the question. It is not only in the latest UNAIDS report. It is generally the acute population and affected populations that have an HIV prevalence that is higher than, let's call, the general population in every country. And I can say that this is due to many, many factors. You mentioned some of them, but stigma and discrimination, marginalization are driving these higher rates of infection. Because people do not, because of the them being ostracized or criticized, they just also avoid seeking health and seeking health services. So the stigma, the discrimination drive people underground and take them away from services that can prevent the infection in these populations. So that's what is driving higher HIV prevalence in men who have sex with men, in sex workers, in migrants, in prisoners, and other key populations in different countries.
And just on that, what are the solutions?
Well, this requires a huge investment in both financial but also as human resources in changing the legal environment, providing more supportive and inclusive not only legal but social environment for people who are at higher risk for HIV infection. So this is in one big word, the solution that we need to be more working towards stigma discrimination campaigns and education for all service providers, for people affected themselves, because sometimes they also suffer from self-stigma, which is another big obstacle for getting services. And also, of course, the legal and the social environment are critical.
And turning specifically to Papua New Guinea, global rates of new infections have almost halved, minus 38%, but in Papua New Guinea, they have more than doubled, plus 103%. That's quite dramatic, isn't it? Why is this happening?
It's very dramatic, and that's why we really say that we have an HIV emergency situation in Papua New Guinea, and our main role now is to ring the alarm for this situation. It's happening for a very long period of time. The HIV prevention activities have not been properly implemented or prioritized enough in the country. Also, the funding has been, landscape has changing, and in the last decades, the funding for HIV has been decreasing from external donors and has not been compensated with funding from the government of Papua New Guinea. Also, the legal and the policy environment, something we already spoke about in Papua New Guinea, is really not conducive for key and affected populations, because we have criminalization of same-sex, criminalization of sex work, and all this make it extremely difficult for key populations to access services for HIV prevention, and also for people who are positive to stay on treatment, because sometimes just finding the medications, if you don't want to disclose your status, can trigger gender-based violence, can trigger families abandoning and friends abandoning you, you losing your job. So this is some of the factors. The magnitude is big because there is also, there are not one or two reasons. It's a complexity of reasons that has contributed to this situation.
And also in Papua New Guinea, if we look at the 2023 PNG statistics with a specific focus on babies, it is alarming, is it not, that an estimated two babies are born with HIV every day due to the lack of antenatal care. Could you explain a little further on that?
Yeah, I think it's unacceptable, honestly, in the situation that the world is moving towards eliminating mother-to-child transmission when it's actually possible. Absolutely, with 99%, if a HIV positive mother is put on treatment to have a negative baby, it's unacceptable to have two babies born with HIV in Papua New Guinea. This is something that needs to wake up the politicians, the community itself, that a lot of effort needs to be put into this. Pregnant women do not attend antenatal services. This is reason number one. Then when they attend, even when they attend antenatal clinics in their first semester, they are not tested for HIV. So that even further reduces the mother that know their HIV status. And then from mothers that are diagnosed that they are HIV positive, only 50% are put and retained on treatment. And this is what can prevent the transmission of mother to child of HIV. So that's how the situation comes, that we have almost 30% of mother to child transmission when the global target is, and the elimination is when countries achieve, and it's a triple elimination, it's of syphilis, hepatitis, and HIV, but it's below 2%. And there are so many countries in the world with different economic conditions that have achieved it. So even with a very, very high prevalence countries, this has been achieved. So it's possible. We just need to get our programs and to deliver and to make sure that every mother attends antenatal clinic, or even if it doesn't attend, it can get an HIV test in the community.
So we've just spoken about the diet circumstances and also related it to where success has been achieved in similar countries around the world. We're talking about people's lives, so this conversation is not a light one. You've mentioned some solutions. So finally, in this last question, what would be your succinct call to action?
The perfect world for us will be to have HIV-free generation in Papua New Guinea, or to end AIDS pandemic, as we call it in UNAIDS and the UN language, by 2030. The ideal solution is to first to make this call that it's an alarming situation, that it's an emergency situation, and it needs to be acted now, because it can, if left unattended, if left as it is, it can only get worse. This is number one. Then our call is to implement all that is known to work globally to reduce and to eliminate HIV as a public health threat. So we know what works. We just need the political will and the capacity and the funding to implement it. So implement the programs that are based on the innovation, including PrEP, self-testing, community-led provider testing, HIV case monitoring. What I'm saying is really get our hands and distribute very broadly the condoms, produce adequate materials. So everything that we know has worked through these years and decades of the epidemic of HIV, we just need to implement it. Put the community, the other real solution is put the community at the center of the response, and also focus on the rights of the people, because when we put the rights at the center, then we can really make sure that people will stay negative. That's prevent the next infection. That's what we have to do.